There's this old animated movie that I remember growing up watching and then later on reading the book that it came from. It's called The Last Unicorn. And it's this fantasy movie, fantasy book, about a unicorn. And in this movie, in this book, unicorns, like they are in a lot of fantasy writings, are these immortal and pure and just unadulterated creatures. Beautiful creatures, magical creatures. But in this story, this particular unicorn discovers that she is the last of her kind, that all the other unicorns in the world are missing, they're gone. And so she goes on a journey to find all the other unicorns. And as she goes, she meets up with a couple other people. One's a magician, one's a woman. And she finds that the unicorns have been captured, stolen, run off by an evil king, a king who commands this fiery, gigantic red bull that he uses to herd all the unicorns into the sea. And so the unicorn and her compatriots go along, and they find the castle, and the red bull comes to meet her. And at first, she maybe thinks that she's strong enough to face up to the Red Bull, but quickly discovers that she cannot. And so the Red Bull starts chasing her and trying to corner her, to herd her with all the rest of the unicorns into the sea. And in order to protect her, to save her, the magician, who is kind of a bumbling magician, finally, truly does magic. And he turns the unicorn into a beautiful young woman, of the picture of life itself. And the bull leaves her alone because he no longer recognizes her as a unicorn. But the unicorn's reaction is not what the magician expects. She starts weeping. She starts panicking. She tells him, "Oh, that you would have left the bull to me, or left me to the bull." And she tells him, "I can feel this body dying all around me. This immortal creature, pure and holy, has taken on human flesh. And it's so foreign to her that it feels like death." Luther is known as saying that right from our mother's womb, we begin to die. 2020 and this year, and I know, years beyond this, have brought us face to face with death, have put right in front of us this grim reality that Luther hits right on, that from the day of our birth, we are set on a journey towards death. It is, of course, the cost of being human, and the bottom line is that it's the price of being sinners, of which all of us are. Now, we're always looking, as human beings, as a way to be comforted about this, to have a consolation about this, and some throughout the history of the world have gone to one thing for comfort or another thing for comfort, or have simply tried to prolong and delay the inevitable. We do this all the time. Or we try to ignore it altogether, but as I said, this year has put it square in our face that we are all and each of us on a journey to the grave. When the infant Jesus was taken to the temple, in our story, our passage has two episodes where Jesus is taken to the temple. The first is when he's 8 days old. The second is probably when he's about 40 days old. So he's still an infant, taken to the temple, still wrapped in swaddling clothes. And when he's taken to the temple to be presented there, the Holy Family is met by a man named Simeon. Now, Simeon has been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw God's comfort, God's consolation. Our translation doesn't use that word, but that's the word that it is. That this man had been waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. And God has told him by his Holy Spirit, you will see this before you die. He's been waiting for it all his life. And as the Holy Family comes into the temple, the Spirit comes upon Simeon, and with eyes of faith, because it's the only way he could possibly see, with eyes of faith, he looks at this little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, carried by a poor young family, and sees the salvation of God. He sees where comfort and consolation is finally and fully located. It causes Simeon to sing, and in the church, this song that he sings is called the Nunc Dimittis, which is Latin for now you dismiss. Because he says, now I can depart in peace. Now I can die in peace because I have seen God's salvation located only in Jesus. By faith, he sees God's comfort. He dies in peace, not fear. He dies in peace, not afraid of God's judgment, but in peace that signifies that he's on good terms with God. And it's all because of Jesus. From the moment of Christ's birth, he, like you and I, we began this journey towards death. We really can feel this body dying all around us. And Jesus, certainly, I imagine like the unicorn, the moment the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who has always been, enters into human flesh. And this might be heretical, but there's no other way for human language to say this, that this might be a first for God. That as God takes flesh and takes and is born from Mary and is enveloped with human nature and human body, that this must be a first for God, because for the first time, God feels death around him from the moment he is born. From the moment Christ is born, he begins a journey towards death. But the difference between Christ and you and I is that Jesus takes this journey voluntarily. He goes on it willingly, so that when our journey comes to an end, that us, with eyes of faith, hearts of faith, a confession from our mouth, and the fact that we have been baptized into Christ, so that you and I can greet death like Simeon in peace, not fear, knowing that death is your passage into eternal peace, eternal life with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, give us eyes, ears, hearts, minds of faith as you gave to Simeon. By your Holy Spirit, help us to see Jesus, who is our peace. Comfort us by what you have done for us through baptism, through the preaching of the word, through Holy Communion. Confirm in us the faith that we have in you, and grant us this same peace that Simeon has, that as we march towards our end, whenever it may come, that we would know and have confidence that you do, in fact, hold us dearly. We pray this in your name. Amen.